Hey everybody, welcome to Snapcast. I'm Alex.
I'm Jerry.
I'm Rob.
And I'm Chris.
And I'm Pause. I don't know why you guys paused so long, but whatever.
Dramatic entrance.
Yeah, sure.
5 man will put me in the play.
So this week we're going to be doing news and updates. Second part, we're going to be talking about some spoilers because it's that season. And I'm also going to tell Jerry how he was wrong last week.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Give it to me. Give it to me, baby.
What has everybody been up to this week?
All right. I'll start off. I went and played in a PPTQ it's mainly for funsies. And I say for funsies because the RPTQ coming up, I'm not going to be able to play in. I ended up running some Grixis Emerge that Jerry and I have been playing on stream, and the deck hated me. I only saw 2 out of my 3 colors for a majority of the day, but whenever I saw Prized Amalgam, I won, which was only once.
rough.
Then that PPTQ, I need to give a quick store shout out to Big Daddy Game in St. Augustine, Florida. Those guys rocked it. It was their first PPTQ that they did. It was their first major tournament. And they did a fantastic job. The community did really good with, being patient as they work through all the difficulties, because we've seen some stores fumble miserably before and really didn't do much to compensate.
What was that place in Maryland?
Oh, my gosh. I can't even remember the name of it. But the free IQ where you had to register by liking on Facebook.
Yeah, then they didn't tell anybody that.
Right.
And they had a cap at like 100 people or whatever.
That's ridiculous. Yep. I would never do that.
No, these guys killed it. They did a great job. They gave us pizza, fed us. It was a really good time. So definitely check them out. They have a website, bigdaddygame.com.
Woo. What have you been up to, Chris?
I haven't been able to play, so I've been watching Twitch mostly.
Gotta stay relevant. That's one way to do it.
Yeah, it was a sad, lonely week. I'm hoping to get out and maybe play some this weekend. Maybe at least some Legacy. I like some Legacy and, sling some elves around when I can.
Like an elves a loose term, but all right. What have you been up to, Jerry?
So I've been, I was supposed to go to PPTQ this weekend, but they pulled it off the Wizards website. It wasn't on their Facebook page, so it never fired, which was sad, but I did get the go-ahead from, my Christmas gift from my dad is he's going to buy my hotel room for Grand Prix Louisville, so I'll be jamming the Drazzy, and I started playtesting it just a little bit, and with Rob, I did a bunch of streaming.
Because Louisville's Legacy, right?
Yep. Eldrazi. Legacy Eldrazi. Let me get that correct.
I mean, there's modern Eldrazi, but Eldrazi's a deck.
Yeah, but I'll never play that.
Could be vintage. I don't know your life.
Yep. Now that I have done. I have done that, so I wouldn't say I wouldn't play that. Basically you need Eye of Ugin to play the deck, alright? I call it like exactly. I see it.
As for me, I wasn't on last week, but you guys talked about it. I won a PPTQ. Yep, I was running red black aggro. Taking a break from the control. I know you kinda mentioned it, but it was fun. It was an interesting day, actually. It was really weird because I started out with 2 losses and a bye, and I made top 8 at X2 in the 8th spot, and then swept the top 8.
Hey, nothing wrong with that, man. You know, puke and rally, like we always say.
So, this weekend we had the Atlanta Invitational, and that was also the new classic system where the classics are the same as the open and modern, or, standard if it's legacy open. So, there was 3 standard tournaments at the Invitational alone, between the standard part of the Invitational, the Open, and the Classic. So we have a lot to talk about there. The Invitational winner was Naya Aetherworks and Dredge. How do we feel about this?
Dredge won that tournament, not Naya Aetherworks. That's how I feel. Like, he performed very well, but he's also playing Dredge in Modern, and that feels like he's playing the right decks at the right moment.
Fair enough. Anybody else got some opinions?
So much Aetherworks. So much... Aetherworks.
I think everyone just expected people to play Green Black Delirium, and Aetherworks really punishes that deck, so they just went for it, I think.
Yeah, no, I mean, it killed it, and there's different variants, too. It's not all the same, but, I mean, they're all doing the same Emrakul.
Everybody's just trying to cheat the Emrakul into play, because turns out it's still just a really good thing to do.
As soon as we saw Mindslaver, we knew that card was going to be busted.
Yeah. Could not have been any more obvious.
Also in the top eight here, we had an Esper aggro. I use Esper in quotations, not that you can see my air quotations. But it's basically just splashing Black Spur Scrap Heap Scrounger, like every deck that is three color but has Scrap Heap Scrounger in it. Do you think this is better than Blue-White Flash, or what do you guys think here?
I think it has more longevity to where it can deal with Green-Black Delirium a little bit better, because Blue-White Flash, as it stands, was already very good against Aetherworks, and it had a little bit of trouble against it, and I think the deck just needs a little bit of reach to deal with that deck.
I don't know if I would call Scrap Heap Scrounger reach, though. I mean, I play it in red-black aggro, and yeah, Recursion is nice to maybe get one attacker wider, but Scrounger doesn't deal with Ishkana any better than anything else does.
No, it doesn't. Like I said, a little bit of reach. Like, if they're able to answer the Ishkana with other cards out of the deck, the Scrounger Recursion can be hard to deal with. Can be. Is it? Probably not. Not. But beyond that, I think he just likes the card, too.
And then Rob has one labeled as Rob Likey. you want to talk about that one?
Yeah, so the reason I liked it is, one, it's different. And it's black-green aggro. And really, it's just, it's taken some of the good stuff out of your Delirium deck with Gnarwood Dryad and Grim Flare. And then it's also running your Gearhawk, so Verdurous Gearhawk, a couple of Lilianas and that. And out of the side, you have your Ishkanas. I think, a well-rounded mid-range deck that isn't trying to cheat the cards into play with Marble Works or anything like that. And that's why I really enjoy it, is it's just, it seems to be even though it's labeled aggro, it's got Mindrak Demons, it's got the Verdurous Gearhawks. I will say it's on the light end of mid-range.
Yeah, I mean, even just putting on a few counters on a Mindrak Demon from Gearhulk seems pretty strong.
Absolutely.
Like, if you don't have immediate answer, the thing is just huge. On the modern side of the Invitational, Grixis Delver is a little bit of a surprise. I didn't expect that one.
I know. No, it was two copies as well. I guess it's, you know, it was able to run Ravenous Trap out of the board to deal with Dredge, so that's always it's always a good place to start. If you can deal with Dredge successfully, the deck should at least be able to perform somewhat moderately well in Modern.
Other than that, no big surprises. You got a Breach, Infect Jund, a couple Dredges, Bane Eldrazi. Pretty straightforward Modern. Some standard decks that went 7-1 or better at the Invitational were Team Raid, The Works, 2-9, The Works, 3 Blue-White Flash, 4 Black-Green Delirium, the Esper Aggro we talked about. Tamir Energy, Rob Leike is also labeled in that. Red-Black Aggro, Alex Leike, and 2 Green-Red Aetherworks. Standard there. It's weird, though, that the Blue-White Flash didn't convert to top 8. I don't know if they just had a rough go over it, weren't playing the right Modern decks or what on that, though.
It could be that there just wasn't a large enough showing of it. I mean, if everyone's assuming that Delirium is going to be the big thing to beat, I think some of those players converted to Aetherworks. So that's always a possibility.
Well, I mean, I'm saying there's 3 Blue-White Flash decks that went 7-1 or better in Standard.
Mm-hmm.
So they're at least, like, they just had to fall apart on Modern.
Yeah, that's true.
It would be nice to see what these decks also partnered in Modern too, so you can kind of get a feel for, okay, so, you know, what was that guy playing? Was he on maybe like a Jeskai build in Modern? Is he trying to just stay in blue-white? I think those would be interesting stats if there's anybody listening who deals with these stats and puts them on the online. I think that'd be nice to see.
Right. See why maybe some of these people didn't convert.
Exactly.
Maybe they're just poor Modern choices.
I make those a lot.
Right. And also, like, I say I like you for that red-black aggro, but it was, I'm pretty sure it's Michael Majors for that list, and he's stolen the Bloodhole Priest. So I just don't like that card.
Why not?
More times than not, it's just a 3-mana 4/4 that does nothing.
Gosh.
Yeah, that's what I see for it.
It's vanilla 9 times out of 10. But that's just from my experience. So then we had the Standard Open the next day. Well, continuation of the weekend, you know what I mean. The top 8's no Marvel Works. 4 Green Black Delirium's pretty usual there. We got a Paint Aggro, a Panharmonicon Blue White, and a Mardu Vehicles, and a Red White Aggro. So Boros Vehicles. Pretty standard fare.
So,
also.
So what I see with this standard top 8 is that everyone was paying attention to the Invitational. and they picked up on, okay, if this Etherworks deck is the thing to, if this Etherworks deck is the thing to beat, then we should probably be playing blue-white flash, but the blue-white flash players got next leveled by the green-black delirium players, if you catch where I'm coming from with that.
You think there's that deep of an impact from Friday to Saturday morning?
Possibly.
I don't think Friday to Saturday. I think people just ran back the standard deck they had.
But there's a list on here. Blue-White Panharmonicon, what's that about?
That's going back to the Displacer, Drowner of Hope, Panharmonicon combo. Throw in some like Reflector Mages and Cloud Blazers for value and call that a day. Yeah, it's just blue-white midrange with a combo finish, and that gets value from Panharmonicon. It's been around for a little bit. I think, I don't remember who started that, but I've seen the deck list around for a while.
Yeah, no one's been playing it in my local meta, so that's why I had to ask about it.
Gotcha. No, I messed around with it and just decided it was too mid-rangey for me, which is my least favorite. So, then we had GP Denver, also standard this weekend. We had Marty Vehicles wins the whole thing, beating Teamer Aetherworks. We had Blue-White Flash, two of them. Then the Blue-White Panharmonicon, another one. Another Marvel, a blue, White-Red Vehicles, and a Blue-Red Zombie Emerge.
Jerry Likey.
Jerry Likey. All right. Where was the Chris Likey? What do you like, Chris?
Vehicles, because it's fairly straightforward.
Fair enough.
And so I like the idea of Harmonicon. I just don't know if I have that much patience to sit there and play something like that. So right. My next one would probably be Red Black Aggro.
Yeah. Join me, Chris.
It seems really good, and it just gets the job done to me as efficiently as possible.
Yeah. I consider that deck like the dark horse of the format right now.
Yeah.
Like, I've had no problem beating green-black delirium or blue-white flash, so I don't know why more people aren't playing it, but...
Now I play blue-red zombie merge because I get 9 to 12 power on the battlefield turn 2, and then sometimes a turn 3 Elder Deep Fiend. Like, there ain't no patience with that. You just lose.
And sometimes you do nothing.
Yep.
Hi,
guys.
Hey, Rob.
What's up, Rob?
Hey, at least I 2-1 my standard showdown and got a foil uncommon, all
right? Right.
That sounds exciting.
It was a blast.
I have yet to play a standard showdown. I keep working Saturdays.
Yeah, I really don't think you're missing much on it. It's nice to have a day for standard where you don't have to dedicate the entire day for it. That's what I enjoy. It's just a second F&M for you to go and play, and you could win something good.
Yeah, that's all. I just want to try my luck at a pack, you know. But this one was GP Denver was the opposite here, where they had more blue white flash, two in the top eight, and the majority of day two was blue white flash, whereas opposed to the standard open was more green black delirium. So yep.
Yeah, more Etherworks. People are on this deck. I guarantee in the next standard tournament it's gonna have like six blue white flashes in the top eight.
Maybe. I don't know. I think that's kind of the rock, paper, scissors is Aetherworks Flash and Green Black Delirium. And then you can kind of tailor and make Green Black Delirium to be better against Blue White or try to be better against Marvel or whatever. But so you can try to next level that way.
Yeah. I've seen some of the Delirium lists running mainboard, like one or two of copies of the Appetite for Hunger, I think is what it's called, the 3-mana instant, destroy target artifact or enchantment. Appetite for the unnatural. I was close.
Boom. Two people got you, Jerry.
I was guessing. All I know is I've seen the card come up, and every time I see it, I have to read it because I'm like, what the heck does this thing do?
You also gain 2 life.
Yeah. I knew you gained
life.
That's
like the best thing about that card is its life gain.
Yeah. Then we had GP Madrid, also standard. Aetherworks won. Okay. Black Red Aggro. Woot. Was number 2. Then we had Blue White Flash, another Aetherworks, Black Red Zombies, which what? Almost, and then Blue White Flash, and then 2 more Aetherworks to round it out. So this was another one where there's 4 big decks going into day 2, which was Flash, Delirium, Aetherworks, and Marty Vehicles. But Marty Vehicles is the deck that didn't make it to the top 8 there. So, I don't know. It seems like it's a rock, paper, scissors format with some outliers that can steal some games if the pilot knows what they're doing.
Yeah, and I think that's perfectly fine. Like, that shows a good, healthy format.
Do you guys think that there's a way that you can sideboard to make yourself better against all of these top four decks we're seeing here in Blue White, Delirium, Aetherworks, and Mardu Vehicles? Or is it that you have to say, I think I'm going to see a majority of this, so this is what I should gear my sideboard towards if you're not playing the deck that just outright hates out a deck?
That's the issue with the standard format, is that it's not really... I wouldn't even call it an issue. That's the niche behind it, is that it is a rock-paper-scissors format, but the rock-paper-scissors is so, like... The matches are so slanted in the favor of a given deck that it makes it to that point where there's only so much sighting you can actually do. We could just get Lightning Bolt back. That'd be sweet. It helps against all of these.
Can yes. we just get Bolt? Give it to me.
Give me Lightning Bolt, man.
Like, I don't even want Lightning Bolt. I honestly just want Skullcrack.
Yes.
That's reasonable. That's completely reasonable. Give the aggro deck a... Give the aggro deck a fighting chance, because Mardu Vehicles isn't even really an aggro deck. It's more of just a mid-range deck that just can have aggressive starts.
Come to the Red Black aggro.
Trust me, I'll be there.
I really like my sideboard, because I know I'm just going to play Flash or Delirium. So I literally have, you know, 8 and 7, basically, for those two matchups that I sideboard in every game.
Like, if we get a Skullcrack effect or a Lightning Bolt effect, I'll be on that deck. Like, I'm not far off from that, but...
That deck's fine now.
Man, I want that Skullcrack. I'm so scared.
Don't be scared.
I'm scared.
All right, well, I think that's pretty much going to do it for the first part here. And then we're going to come back and start getting into spoilers.
Woo!
Welcome back, everybody. We're going to talk about some spoilers, and then I'm going to tell Jerry why he's wrong, like always.
Oh, sweet.
So, Rob, I like that first checked. Spoiler for us.
All right. We're going to start off with some of the ones that were spoiled initially, and that was, we'll go with Quicksmith Rebel. It is a 4-drop, 3 and a red, creature, human artificer, 3/2 body. When Quicksmith Rebel enters the battlefield, target artifact you control gains tap. This artifact deals 2 damage target creature or player, for as long as you control Quicksmith Rebel.
I guess I can start here. It's not the worst thing. I don't know how playable it's going to be in standard as a 4-drop on a 3/2 body, because it dies pretty easy, but it does have the advantage of immediate value on the artifacts, at least going to shock. So there's that.
Can this combo with Pilipala? Because Pilipala has that untap ability. I don't remember its wording word for word, but it's
untap. I think you have to pay 2 to when you untap it, though.
Okay. See, you see where I was going with this, right? Like, I'm trying to break this card, and that was where I was going with it, is that something with the untap mechanic can be rewarding for you out of out of the Scarecrow cycle in Shadowmoor, as for modern application. But outside of that, I don't see this going anywhere.
In fact, I know you have to pay 2 to untap. Pilipala, because that's how it combos with Grand Architect. You tap with Grand Architect to make the 2 colors, use that 2 colors to untap it, and then make the colored mana.
And ring ding dee 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 dee.
Yeah. Now, so you still need a mana source for that, but...
Yeah, and I mentioned this last week, big flavor miss here. This was the time for Rebels to be back in Standard.
I agree. I missed me some Rebels.
And this should have had creature type Human Artificer Rebel, and I would have been fine with that.
Yep, I agree. Who knows, could have brought back their Rebel archetype, you know, an actual, like, modern or you know, Legacy or something again. But, Chris, any thoughts?
Maybe if you want to make your opponent salty and use this on a clue token.
Yeah, kill him with clues.
Yeah, like, just kill him with clues.
And every time you tap it, tell him to get a clue.
It's just the 4. The 4 is what makes it bad, in my opinion. 3... You could probably play with it. I think the 4 is just too much.
Yeah, I think it would have been a reasonable 3-drop, but not at 4. Just too much. What's next, Rob?
All right, so next up we've got Scrap Trawler. It's a artifact creature type construct. For 3 mana, it's a 3/2. When Scrap Trawler or another artifact you control is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, return to your hand target artifact card in your graveyard with a lesser converted mana cost.
This card's good where it's good.
This is great technology. Like, Affinity already had a good matchup against Living End, but this just makes it better.
I'd rather just sack everything to Ravager anyway, but...
True. It's just another option to that deck list.
Yeah, no, I think this one definitely is more of like a commander card. That's where you're going to see a lot of play.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it is not unreasonable to play this in Standard. There could very well be an artifact aggro deck or an artifact, you know, creature-based deck where... You know, if you just attack with Scrap Heap Scrounger and they're going to have to block it eventually, then you get, you know, a Bomat Courier back and rinse and repeat.
Yeah, seems sweet with your red-black aggro list. Get to continue grinding them out if you need to.
So, role player at best is my opinion.
Yeah, same here. Role player.
What else you got?
All right. Next up, we've got Trophy Mage. Two and a blue for a 2/2 body. When Trophy Mage enters the battlefield, you may search your library for an artifact with converted mana cost 3. Reveal it, put it into your hand, then shuffle your library.
So I'm actually really excited about this card. And it's actually for Legacy in a Learn Blue. Because this card finds you Shardless Agent and Parasitic Strix, part of the combo.
So good. I'm excited for this in Commander. This finds Swords of X and Y in your Commander list, which is great. People want this.
And then also, of course, you know, things to mention, Chernosphere, Crucible Worlds, and Staring Bridge.
That's right. I did make I did try to put together a weird little Blue Moon list that used Trophy Mage as kind of a lockout on my opponent. Don't know if it's good like that, but hey, it's worth a look at. And getting, you know, getting a Chernosphere online is no joke.
And then who knows what else is going to be in this set, you know. This Trophy Mage gets Scrap Trawler. That's a thing.
Yeah.
it also gets.
I'm sure there's better things to do, but
pretty sure it gets Deadlock Trap, right?
Yeah, Deadlock Trap is sweet.
Mm.
That I'm a fan of. Also, if you are lucky enough to crack an invention in your sealed pool, because you'll have two packs of Kaladesh and sealed pools, so you could crack a sword and then use this to find your sword in your sealed game.
Playing Commander in Limited.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Oh, man. No. Just, okay. All right. I'm just going to go to the next one. Yahini's Expertise. This is one of the ones that has been blowing up the internet. And I'll go ahead and read it, but I'm sure a majority of you guys already know it. It's 2/2 black sorcery. All creatures get -3/-3 until end of turn. You may cast a card with converted mana cost 3 or less from your hand without paying its mana cost.
This kind of goes into why Jerry was wrong last week. Just the cheating of the mana is too strong, and we'll talk about that more here in a bit, but that way we can also get Chris's opinion on it. But man, just the idea, even just like at this point, just mono black of playing this, giving everything -3/-3, and then casting a Liliana Last Hope for free and finishing off a 4 toughness thing, and then having a Planeswalker against the empty board seems amazing for 4 mana.
And that's just Standard implications. That is just a very narrow area for Standard.
Yeah, like I said, Standard in one color, and that just seems overpowered. And then you get to do things like cheat colors. Like, you could play like blue-black control, and then just have Saheeli Rai in it. And just cast it off of Yahini's Expertise. Just have like Aether Hub as your only red source, and then just cheat in red cards with Expertise and stuff.
I'm more excited about this card in Modern, as it does read the same way that Goblin Dark Dwellers does, is that it cheats the suspend cards. So using a Yahini's Expertise to get out a restore balance from your hand seems a little broken. Am I wrong to think that?
I think Ancestral Vision is also real sweet.
Yep, that too.
Yeah, that's the one I went to immediately.
But I actually really like when you're already cheating costs anyway. I like modal spells, so things like Culligan's Command, even something like Jermoka's Command. Getting like different modes and different things you can do when you're also doing it for free seems great.
Yeah, and like, my only thing with this in Standard is trying to resolve this in our upcoming Standard world seems very difficult. The card is very powerful. You guys are all 100% right. Very powerful. I don't see this card resolving very often.
I think it'll be fine because it's going to be playing a black deck alongside Transgress the Mind.
Yeah, that's obviously where it's got to go.
Like, I think it'll just be, you'll delay your transgress the mind probably with, like, a tap land on turn three. You'll be like, tap land, you know, two mana, transgress the mind, and then turn four, hope you didn't draw Smoke Queller, and Yahimi's expertise, and go for it.
That would be the idea, yes.
Yeah, so I don't think it'll be that bad to get countered.
So I like the fact
that, and even that then, they're... this is a sweet bait spell.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a must answer. Like, you have to answer this.
Counter this, so that we can play the real card, like, you know, whatever next turn. Like,
I like the fact that you're actually, I won't say board wipe at -3/-3, but you're clearing a path, which I kind of feel like has been slowed down a little bit here lately. And then on top of it, you get pure bonus of cast whatever I want for that all out tempo. Just that tempo stage, you know, like, I'm holding you off, I'm on the back foot. All right, -3/-3, I'm going to clear the way a little bit, and then cast whatever, because, I mean, whatever you're going to cast is really going to, for free, is going to impact the board greatly. So at four, it kind of feels like they were rewarding them for not having a conditional sweeper at four from before. Like, hey, you had to play without it for a little bit, but look what you get now.
Well, it also hits the sweet spot on the curve with Goblin Dark Dwellers, where it's a card at 4 cost and 5 cost that both care about a 3 converted mana cost. So, like, Yini's Expertise puts a 3 drop in the yard guaranteed for your Goblin Dark Dwellers on turn 5 to cast.
Oh, yeah. You also mentioned how, like, you know, you grab Liliana out of this to kill, like, Avacyn, and that'll wipe out the blue-white board, but this also allows you to cast a Ruinous Path to deal with Gideon. Like, that's pretty sweet, too.
Yeah. Or, like a Succumb to Temptation, if you want to draw some cards.
Yeah, you got different things you can do with this. It's sweet.
All right, what else you got, Rob?
Next up, we have the Heart of Kirin, vehicle. So we got vehicles back, and this was, aside from the Planeswalker, with the exception of Trophy Mage, all of these cards are rares, except for the Planeswalkers and Heart of Kirin. Heart of Kirin is a 2-drop legendary artifact vehicle with flying and vigilance. Crew 3. You may remove a loyalty counter from a planeswalker you control rather than Heart of Kirin's crew cost, and it is a 4/4 body.
So this card's spicy. I don't know if it's going to see a play over Copter. It might see a play to kind of beat Copter because it's bigger than Copter, but that new ability is still real nice in a lot of decks. But the fact that playing offense and defense is really nice, and the fact that it can play defense without a creature to crew it by, you know, just taking a loyalty off a planeswalker seems great.
In order to give Smuggler's Copter the vigilance ability, you would have to play Always Watching, and you're not required to do that anymore with Heart of Kirin. I like it.
And Always Watching, too, you have to recrew. Like, you have to have another creature to crew. Like, sure, all your creatures have vigilance, but it's still kind of awkward sometimes.
Yeah.
And then the alternate crewing cost. I really like that we are seeing that there's other ways to crew. So are we going to get additional ways then later on with the cards, or is this going to be the only one that gets this?
I think this is going to be the only one that gets it. It's just saying basically a planeswalker can also drive a car, which makes sense.
That's like, a good way to put it. I completely missed that flavor hit.
Even Tybalt will screw this up.
Tybalt would screw it up and make you discard the vehicle while he's inside.
Yeah, but, of course.
No, I mean, and Jace isn't stupid. Of course he can drive a car or fly a thing. Like, but yeah, I mean, it's, like I said, it's interesting. It's going to feel real bad when you have a Heart of Kirin and a Planeswalker and you get Emrakuld. I'll crew with loyalty. In response, I'll crew with loyalty. In response, I'll crew with loyalty. Oh, your Planeswalker's gone? Whoops.
Sad day for you.
Yeah, that's going to hurt. I can't wait to see that on camera.
You know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate this. This is Crew 3. I don't know if it was originally Crew 3 or if Wizards was like, oh crap, we messed up with Smuggler's Copter and like went back and changed it. But I am glad it's Crew 3.
I think I can see the eraser marks on it.
Right.
I see where
it was crew one. They're like, oh no.
I see where it says crew one, and you may add a loyalty counter to crew it.
Yeah, when it attacks, you add a loyalty to the planeswalker. I think that's what it was.
I'm gonna go with that.
Yeah. And it was just called, you thought Smuggler's Copter was bad.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
Yep.
All right. And the last Planeswalker, which, for those who haven't listened, I will spoil this.
Yeah.
Made Jerry's top 10 based solely on its name.
He's the master of metal.
And his name's Tezzeret. All right. So it's 4, a blue, and a black. So the theme here I've seen so far, 6 drop planeswalkers. He thankfully enters with 5 loyalty. +1, reveal cards from the top of your library, and 2, reveal an artifact. Put that card in your hand, rest bottom of your library in any order. So similar to a Johnny. -3, target opponent loses life equal to the number of artifacts you control. Okay, jammed us in an artifact commander deck or something. -8, gain control of all artifacts and creatures target opponent controls.
So since this is my favorite card, I'm going to start this off. If there is a standard deck that's built on mucking up the battlefield with a bunch of artifacts, this could be 6 mana kill an opponent. I'm behind that. And just like the Ajani from the Planeswalker deck, this +1 is sweet. It's going to get you an artifact. So I'm behind it. The -8 will win a game too. So this is a all right card. In the real world, I wished it was a 5-drop or a 4-drop, but we got to take it at 6.
Yeah, I mean, it's not unreasonable. It definitely harkens back to Agent of Bolas a little bit. Like, yeah, it costs more mana, but you get a little bit bigger effects out of it.
Tezzeret Agent of Bolas is also a busted magic card as it is.
True statement.
Nah, man.
So, I'm hoping the real one will be busted, like Agent of Bolas level here.
Yeah, same here. I'm behind it. But I love this card. The flavor behind it is sweet, the name is sweet, and the abilities are decent enough where I would try this as a one of in a deck that wants to muck up the board with Artifice.
Right.
But you know what's sweet, though? His ultimate's almost like Tybalt's.
I know, right? It's just like Tybalt. and I love Tybalt. Just say, all right, if I'm gonna have a Planeswalker metal band, all right, Leon is my vocalist, Tezzeret's on my lead guitars, and Tybalt is my rhythm guitar and screamer because he sucks.
God damn it, Jerry.
My drummer is Karn, man. Karn's right. Stacked, and Garouk's my bassist, so we're good. I got my heavy metal Planeswalker band.
I'm not even sure what just happened right there.
I got my
none of us know.
I'm not sure either, but we are all dumber for listening to it.
I feel like there's a tree you need to apologize to.
I'm not a tree hugger.
Or
though,
thanks.
Chris.
One of the two. Be like, thank you for keeping me alive. Or sorry, because I make your job seem so pointless.
All right, well, we're going to keep rolling here so Jerry doesn't think that he can just speak at free will. The next card is Pia's Revolution. Enchantment, 2 in red. Whenever a non-token artifact is put into your graveyard from the battlefield, return that card to your hand unless target opponent has Pia's Revolution deal 3 damage to him or her.
I mean, Punisher mechanics are bad.
Typically, yes. This one has a little bit more play to it because getting, like, if you're ahead on the board state, this was just more, like you say earlier, win more. This is a very win more card when you're ahead on board state. And when you're behind, it doesn't do much. It might get a few cards back, but if you weren't already recurring them, then you're already kind of just, you're playing a real medium enchantment.
I mean, it's Athreos, except it can't fire up and beat somebody in the face.
Yes, and Athreos could do that.
And we know how much play Athreos saw, so.
Whole whopping one of it, one deck at one time.
Yeah. and it had more upside. So, moving on.
Yeah, this card sucks. Right.
Yeah. Chris, do you have anything for that or no?
Nah. I mean, at first I was like, oh, that could be cool. Or then I started thinking about it, and I'm like, nah. They're just going to be like, yeah, have the card. Like, whatever, I'll kill it again.
Exactly. All right, the next one is Battle at the Bridge. So for X and one black, sorcery. We have a new mechanic with this one called Improvise. Your artifacts can help you cast this spell. Each artifact you tap after you've done activating mana abilities pays for one. Target creature gets minus X until end of turn. You gain X life.
So we have Convoke with artifacts. That's pretty sweet. I like that. That's going to be a mechanic.
Yep.
Yes. This card itself is fine. It's definitely, it could see play if there's a deck. If there's a Tezzeret deck, you know, just jamming artifacts on the board and wants to use them to cheese out bigger spells, it's going to see play.
Tapping one swamp and tapping like three clues with this is very strong. I'm behind that. Improvise right. Feels like a fixed affinity. This is probably what they tried to do with Affinity.
Probably, yeah.
You have clue tokens you can use. You have your... I can't even remember the mechanic now. Either you get the +1/+1 counters or you get the servos.
Oh, Fabricate?
Yep, you got Fabricate that can abuse this.
There's also still like PNLR and Thopter Makers.
Yep. You can sideboard play for maybe a Lantern Control deck or two.
Yeah, I could see playing Lantern.
So no, I like it. I do enjoy the Convoke with artifacts. I like it a lot better than Affinity for artifacts.
What are you talking about? I like cheating artifacts.
I do like that it has the caveat that you can't use abilities like with it. So like you can't be like, well, I'm going to tap this for, you know, to pay this, but in response, I'm going to tap it and use its ability. No, you can't cheeseball this.
Right. All right, next up, Dark Intimations. 2 blue, black, and red. Sorcery. There's a lot of text on this one, stay with me. Each opponent sacrifices a creature or planeswalker, then discards a card. You return a creature or planeswalker from your graveyard to your hand, then draw a card. When you cast a Bolas Planeswalker spell...
Oh, snap!
Exile Dark Intimations. Sorry, there's typos on the Oracle text that I'm reading right now. Exile Dark Intimations from your graveyard. The Planeswalker enters the battlefield with an additional loyalty counter on it.
Bolas is back. That's all I care about this card.
this straight out confirms Nicol Bolas is back. Other than them saying Amaket's definitely going to be Nicol Bolas.
Well, this is saying he's potentially the one of the planeswalkers in this set,
which would be great.
I'd like that. I mean, like if you'd seen my little special I put out, man, I loved Grixis Control. This is right in my ballpark of things I like to do.
Or, yes, but Cruel Ultimatum. This is not Jerry. We've been over this. I actually. The only way this deck is gonna see play is in like a Liliana Nicol Bolas Grixis like. Grind you out using the graveyard with like Cathartic Reunion and stuff where you can just throw these in the graveyard and not care about them. Because okay. I actually don't think they're that good when you cast them.
I respect your opinion, and here's why I think you're wrong. This card can be played in a way like Cruel Ultimatum. Cruel Ultimatum, this is
sure,
not.
But, all right, I'll let you finish, but then I'll tell you why you're wrong.
So
you've said 5 words, and I know you're wrong.
So all right, fine. So this is what I'm about. This card is really good as a one, maybe two of, if it's just that good and the format shapes out in that way, to where when you have 10, 11, 12 mana out and you pay the 5 for this and it resolves, getting rid of a walker, discarding a card, recurring a Torrential Gearhulk or a Goblin Dark Dwellers and drawing a card, that is very backbreaking. I'm behind that set of abilities. Yes, it requires a lot of work and it might not go above a two of, but even then, I would try the card. I wouldn't count it out just yet.
See, you say it's backbreaking, and I say it doesn't do enough. Because they get to choose if they sacrifice a creature or a planeswalker, so you're never getting a planeswalker.
Of course.
They're going to sacrifice their worst creature, and then they discard a card. Okay, if it's probably late game or they have stuff to throw away that doesn't affect the board right away. Yes, you getting a creature or a planeswalker back is good, but you still can't cast it that turn unless you're in super late game. And if you're playing a control deck and you have 11 mana, you've probably already won. And then drawing a card is okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I'm behind this. Like, I'm behind this on getting Gearhulk or Goblin Dark Dwellers back. That's where I'm on with this card. The other effects on it are
this,
little
advantages.
This card
advantages. To me feels out like Silumgar's Command, and that card never saw play.
And Silumgar's Command was a pretty bad card. This has upside.
And it does relatively the same stuff. It tries to deal with the Planeswalker. It tries to deal with the creature. Fails at both. And then, yeah.
But it gives you Gearhulk back. Like, that's the part where I'm at. Like, looping Gearhulks, you and I both know, is the dumbest thing you can possibly do. Like, how much I wish we had Colgan's Command, which is just better at that. But this is what we have, and
I mean, Blue-White Control is using Sequestered Stash to loop Torrential Gearhulk. You can still do it.
Chris, what do you think, man? Help me out here. or tell me I'm wrong. It's all good.
I'm torn both ways, so I think by the time you're casting it, actually hard casting it for the spell, I kind of feel like you're winning more at this point.
Okay.
I think for something to throw in the yard, though, and like, I guess to get the extra loyalty on it is cool, but I'm kind of with Alex on this one. I just think because they get the choice of a creature or a planeswalker, and with Fabricate, and I mean, you're going to get my crappiest creature is what it comes down to. And then if they're smart, like a lot of people are playing Scrap Heap Scrounger, so if they sack Scrap Heap Scrounger, did you really win anything?
Okay, that's a reasonable argument. I did like that. I really did like
if they don't even have the Scrounger in play, they can discard the Scrounger and sack a creature and then return the Scrounger.
Okay.
Yeah, so my only thing is because the opponent essentially gets to choose what he sacrifices, I think that's not quite what it gets it there. I think if it was you choose a creature to sacrifice or a planeswalker of the opponent, I'd be like, yeah, play this card all day, like, such a huge tempo swing. But because they do, I mean, at best, you're going to get their worst creature. I mean, you're going to get Scrap Trawler for heaven's sake, you know? Like, Trophy Mage is about to die.
Good thing he did his job.
Yep. I did like what you said about it, though, Alex. Using it as a discard, using it into a discard outlet. Like, I can see a Grixis control deck, assuming that we get some crazy 3-mana Nicol B, which probably won't happen, but we'll play the
never
thought.
Gonna happen.
We'll play the thought game here. Let's assume we get a Bolas Planeswalker at 3 mana. You know, you use your Cathartic Reunion to pitch some intimations, you set up for a Yahini's Expertise on turn 4, cast Expertise, resolves, cast your Nicol B, trigger all the dark intimations in the yard. That's a pretty sweet line of play, and I can get behind that.
Yeah, I know, and I think that's what this card is best for, is the extra loyalty, and that's if Nicol Bolas has a quick ultimate to where it's reasonable that, like, if you have 2 intimations in the yard, he could ultimate. Like, that's scary, but I don't think that's going to be the case either.
As a matter of fact, talking about Nicol B ultimates, Rob and I figured out last night that if you have 4 copies of this in the yard, Conflux Nicol Bolas will ultimate the turn it comes in.
Fair enough.
So, anyone want to play that Modern deck?
No.
No, me neither.
No.
I got my Nicol Bolas right here.
He's ready. Did you bought him on spec?
Yeah.
No, because, like, once again, there's too many, like, especially with, like, Haunted Deads and stuff running around. Discarded cards actually not that good. Like, Fiery Tempers are running around. Volterran Pariahs. Like, having your opponent discard a card might actually just come back to hurt you. Like, And if that's one of the main draws to this card at 5 mana, that's just not good enough.
Very possible. But not my draw to this card is Recursion of Gearhulk and Dark Dwellers. I'm being real here. I don't think the sack effect is good. I don't think the discard effect is good. I think I think the recursion of Big Knucklehead Dude so is what I want
to
do.
One part of the card you like is return a creature, a planeswalker, to your hand, which you can just do with like a Liliana Minus or like Refurbish or
obviously,
you know,
you gotta
Ever
use
After costs one more mana, gets you two things into play. Like, all right, that's why this card's not good, Jerry.
Obviously, you got to use this card for its best abilities, which is obviously Bolas and that. I like, you know, I really hope there's a good Bolas Planeswalker card to make this card playable.
He exists in Conflux.
That was not playable.
Yeah, Jerry,
Rob.
Go back to Conflux where there's good Boluses.
That was not
yeah,
good.
Jerry.
We played Cruel
Take
Tomato.
Take your shitty card with you.
Get out of here.
All right.
So the last card, and I saved this one for last because I know the control players rejoiced. They hugged each other. They're crap all over Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat. It's just the world's on fire. Disallow. 1/2 blue. Counter target spell, activated ability, or triggered ability.
Yeah. Monocolored Void Slime.
I
yeah.
know. We don't have to play green anymore to play this card. This excites me.
I mean, granted, it's not good enough for modern, but it could potentially be really good in standard.
Oh, this is great in standard. I'm like, the counter triggered ability at 3 mana, like, if you don't have the Summary Dismissal, this plays in the main board better than Dismissal does and answers Emrakul trigger really well.
Yeah, but as an answer to Emrakul, that's what Dismissal's, you know, Summary Dismissal is good at.
You're playing the control deck. You should be able to find an answer to it pretty easily. I'm convinced.
Or you could just run Summary Dismissal. But anyway, I actually think the best mode on this is going to be Stifle. Either, especially like stifling Planeswalker Ultimates. It makes me happy inside.
Yes. Yes.
Especially if the opponent is greedy and didn't plus an extra turn.
I'll take you one further. Stifling an Aetherworks Marvel.
Yeah, that's pretty hot, too.
Like, there you go.
Stifling an Evolving Wilds.
Yeah.
If you get someone...
I've stifled many a fetch in my Legacy day, all
right? Hey, right. If you get someone with that, if you disallow an Evolving Wilds, Rob, I want you to take a picture of that guy's face.
No, because he's going to want to murder me.
Yeah, exactly. I want to see what he looks like when he kills you. Because that's great. That's good magic. That's good hearty magic.
All right, Jerry doesn't get my cards when I die.
Yes, more cards for me.
Yeah. Chris, you ever going to play Control?
So I was excited when this printed, and I was like, I'm going to play this in blue-white flash and be happy and giddy. And the first thing I said was, I'm just going to stifle everything I can.
Is that an ability that can stifle? Stifle.
Stifle.
Oh, you're sacking that clue? Stifle.
Yep. Because, like, to me, it just seems like, oh, I'm going to crew this thing.
Stifle.
Stifle. That's cool. So now it's turned sideways, so now I can just walk past it. Thank you. You know, like, I don't know. I like Stifle. They came back. Like, I should get 3 Stifles since it's, like, 2 blue and a generic, like, let me go ham wild and just stifle everything.
Yeah. It could have been choose 2. That would have been hot.
Yeah. But I think at 3, it's going to be all right. It's going to be fun. And people are going to get irritated. And it's going to be awesome.
And I'm not going to care how irritated.
I played more stifle than most because I was one of the last holdouts on the Rug Delver with stifle. So I am excited about stifle. I always enjoy that effect.
So, yeah. So I've been stifled at more times than not. Storm player here. And the power of stifle is real, and this being a counterspell on it is also just real. Control's back, I'm excited. Or it's even more back than it could possibly have asked for. Like,
yeah.
Where's our Sphinx's Revelation?
And the worst part is I found an aggro deck I really like right now. So I don't even know if I'll play control right away.
No, I'm on that, because it's already in the colors that I'm in with the Grixis Emerge deck, so I got all
the lanes. Yeah, see, Grixis was never my favorite control. It feels dirty. Like, I'm more of like an Esper or Azorius kind of guy. Like, I like to be pure of heart and just no win conditions, watch my opponent's face go out. Grixis, too, like, I'm going to burn you out. I'm going to kill you.
Oh, I'm a freaking dirtbag, man. The way. I lived the dream and activated the worst Chandra ever printed's ultimate and casted 3 cruel ultimatums, all right? that's a real world I lived in.
And now you get a shitty Cruel Ultimatum. Like, no. Almost Cruel Ultimatum. Cruel Ultimatum, not.
This is not Cruel Ultimatum, but I will make it happen. At least one copy.
Stop trying to make fetch happen, Jerry.
Yeah, I know. I'll disallow that fetch. I'll disallow that Dark Intimations trigger. Gotcha, buddy.
We need to stop him. We need to stop him.
Dude, disallows yeah, all it's, over the
it's,
place.
It's about time to end this. Like, I don't even have the motivation to tell Jerry why he was wrong so much last week. You can, like, you wear me down, Jerry. You got me. You got me on this.
Nah, man, I want to hear you. Why am I wrong? Tell me. I like your opinion and I value it.
So
it's a trap.
I buttered him up.
It's a trap.
That's what a girl says when she wants a fight.
I thought that was I don't care where we go for dinner.
Yeah.
But, we're fine, but, you can go out.
But really, at least tell me your opinion on it because I want to hear it. I really do.
No, like, you were too passive on it. You didn't think it was much of a problem as I see it as. Because, like, if you look back at it historically with cards that cheat mana and things like that, those are the cards that get banned. Like, just off the top of my head, Rite of Flame, Seething Song, Hypergenesis, Dig Through Time, Treasure Cruise, Black Lotus in every format that Vintage and stuff like that. Like, it's just such a powerful effect that you just, it's so much advantage compared to your opponent. Okay. You know what I mean?
I understand you.
But you were kind of saying, like, especially in the case of Storm, and I know it's your pet deck and stuff, you were saying Storm was the problem and not, like, Dark Ritual and Cabal Ritual. Where I think that's the opposite of the truth. I think the Dark Ritual and the Cabal Ritual are the problem, because if you couldn't make all that mana, you couldn't Storm.
Okay. See,
like, you kind of went at this like, bass backwards.
This is where you and I will agree to disagree, because the original inclination behind the Ritual effect, Dark Ritual, was to play a fast black card right away. Necropotence was broken. Barring Necropotence, you know, playing a turn one Hypnotic Spectre or a turn one...
I mean, that
one,
won a lot of games.
It did. But is that... Inherently, is a 3-mana 2-2 broken in a world where Lightning Bolt is legal? You know, you're putting...
That's not the thing, Jerry. It's the fact that on turn one, you're playing a 3-drop when your opponent might have a tapped land. Or, you know, it might not even be able to do anything. It's the same as Tron, because Tron cheats mana and plays a Karn on turn three. Everybody gets upset about that. It's the same thing.
I don't get upset about that. I play Ad Nauseam. I cheat mana in my own ways.
All right, you're not a normal person, Terry.
All right.
I mean, it's the look at, like, Gaia's Cradle is another great example of the things you can do cheating mana.
Yeah, Chris just woke up from his slumber. He likes this.
Yeah.
Gaia's Cradle.
Yeah, like, you can pretty much look at deck lists in older formats in Legacy or and to some extent Modern too, and you can look, like, what makes this deck function, and a lot of it is cheating mana. Like, I would argue the only reason Affinity is good as it is Mox Opal.
Yes, no, I agree. Like,
so it's things like that that has been a problem, and, like, yes, people like it because it does make decks, it makes archetypes, you know, Metal Worker and things like that, but at the same time, like, it kind of forces people to play that deck, especially in, like, a standard format, which is why I kind of want to talk about this with Yhini's Expertise. Like, Yhini's Expertise is getting you 7 mana for 4. Like, you're going to be so far ahead of your opponent, like, there's no reason not to play this card. And it's going to force people to play this card.
Sure.
The same as Stoneforge Mystic.
And Smuggler's Stoneforge Copter. Mystic.
I'm not saying Smuggler's Copter is pretty aggressively costed, but I'm saying more of cheating mana. Like, Stoneforge Mystic in that standard cheated mana, because for 2 mana, you got to tap it and put a Batter Skull 5 mana into play, or, you know.
Oh, yeah. For 2 mana, you got the 1-2 Squire that tutored the equipment and then cheated it onto the battlefield. I get that. I 100% get that. I just... Magic, to me, has always been about being able to... We're not Yu-Gi-Oh! In the sense that we're trying to... I'm not trying to say we just need to play a bunch of creatures and bump them into each other. I'm fine with the existence of combo decks. I like beating them. I like playing them. That's where I'm behind it.
Right, but you can have combo decks without cheating mana.
But what combo... Let's be real here. What combo deck doesn't cheat mana?
Jeskai Ascendancy.
That deck cheats mana. Being able to untap your lands over and over again, that's cheating mana to me.
You know, I guess Fate Stitcher untaps the lands.
Yeah, Fate Stitcher does, and you know, cheating.
Yeah, it does cheat.
And being able to cheat Noble Hierarchs, like there isn't a combo deck in.
Let's get a problem. Like
there isn't a combo deck that doesn't cheat mana. Like Aetherworks Marvel, that cheats mana. I mean, if you saw Kai Buda's tweet the other day. Aetherworks Marvel is a terribly designed Magic card. I can't say I disagree with him entirely.
Yeah, this is the point I was trying to make, that cheating mana is bad. Like, it allows things to happen that shouldn't happen. It allows combos to happen that shouldn't. It allows Aetherworks Marvel to, you know, pay 4 mana and then get a 13 mana creature into play. Like, that shouldn't happen, and that's why it's bad.
But yet, Wizards printed it. There's no way... And this is conspiracy theory. Get your tinfoil hats on, boys.
There's no way they run the White House.
There's no way. There's no way they couldn't have known about it. Like, you don't just make a card like that two sets away from your hallmark card in a previous set and not know that that's going to happen. Like,
I think the problem there was they didn't realize how easy it was to make energy. Honestly.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, but once again, that's kind of the point of the segment I was trying to make, is Wizards continues to make this mistake.
Okay.
Like, they didn't learn their lesson with Delve, which is huge. Like, they didn't learn their lesson with, Cascade. Like, they made the Cascade mechanic and then had the throwback zero-cost cycle. And, like... Like, and now they have Yhini's Expertise, which is a pseudo-Cascade again.
Okay.
It's just out of your hand instead of out of your deck.
Yeah, you have more control.
Even worse. That's the part that does scare me. You do get a little more control out of it. Vice standard being able to... Of course, you could brainstorm your own library with Jace the Mind Sculptor and then Cascade with Bloodbraid Elf, but now you get to just do it out of your hand. That does scare me a little bit. So I understand wholeheartedly where we are coming from with this. Cheating mana is wrong.
Yeah, Jerry gets it, finally.
No, I get it. I don't have to like it, but I get it.
Fair enough. All right, well, I think that's going to bring us to the end here. So let's do some closing thoughts here. Chris, what do you got to close us out here?
Yhini's Expertise, good card. A Johnny, either one. Not a fan. Not good card.
Yep. All right. What do you got, Jerry?
I like cheating mana. Sorry, guys.
All right. Well, for me, Jerry's wrong. All right. Rob, take us out.
All right. So thanks again, everybody, for listening. We appreciate it. We're putting up a few more things. We did a Jerry top 10 cards, and it's not by power. It's by just what he thought were his favorite cards. He has an unglued card in there, a couple random cards, one that is kind of just sure. And then, yeah, of course, like we said, the Master of Metal. But all of us here at the Snapcast, we're eventually going to be doing this. It might be just like every other day, every few days. We don't know. But it's we're firing by the hip here. But you can catch all of that at our website, www.thesnapcast.com. Follow us on Twitch at twitch.tv/thesnapcast. We tried streaming earlier this week. But our software program, they're having an issue outside of our control, and they ended up being down for 7 hours. And there was a lot of hangry people on there, hungry and angry. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/thesnapcastmtg, and we are on Twitter. We are at Team Snapcast. So feel free to follow us. We've been posting all the spoilers on here, and I'll go ahead and brag a little bit about us. We have been some of the quickest ones putting these spoilers up.